Good morning, everyone. Everybody do this for like a while, right? It's super cold out this morning, but glad that you braved the cold to be here. Those of you watching from home, I hope that you are staying warm as well. Welcome to Open Arms Church, not a building, but people, believers called out the family of God. It's good to gather together to worship our Lord together. As you came in, you may have noticed something. If you walked in through the foyer, you saw one of these sitting out there. Every year, the Alpha Pregnancy Care Center does a bottle drive, and we invite you to pick one of these up. Typically, you put loose change in there. You may or may not have a lot of loose change floating around these days, but you could also just put in cash or check and bring these bottles back in about a month or so as those go to support the efforts that they do. You can read more about their work at alphacare.org. It's a great organization that supports women, children, and supporting families, supporting life. So we invite you to pick up one of those. This Wednesday, it is our every other rotation, so we'll be gathering here on Wednesday evening for our next Institute class. We invite you to come and to be a part of that. We invite you to watch live stream again. Thank you for your questions. Send those in. Feel free to send those in even beforehand if, as you look at the topic, you have things that you would like us to address. Well, last Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, we had a baptism. Baptisms are always special. This one was particularly special and impactful for me, as our daughter, who responded to the Lord's call in her life and has put her faith in Jesus, she decided that she wanted to get baptized. And so, wanting you to see that, to witness that, we invite you now to watch this video of her sharing, in her words, her response to God's call.
Hello, my name is Isla Muchmore, and I am 6 years old. I want to get baptized because I love Jesus, and I really want to tell other people that I love him. I don't just want to stay in my home and have nobody else know that I love God. I first learned about God when I was a baby. Ever since I was little, I liked hearing about Adam and Eve. I learned not to hide from God when I do something very bad that God doesn't tell me to do. Instead of hiding, I should tell God what happened and not hide. One day I start to see that God cared about me so much, so then I start to think about him. And I started to read my Bible every day and night. I first heard the word sin when I learned that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so I learned that I was a sinner. A sinner is someone who doesn't obey and does whatever they want to do. I know that being a sinner doesn't make God happy one bit. I know that sinners deserve to go to hell. My favorite part of the Bible to read is when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Then a couple of days later, Jesus was really alive. God is angry at sin, but we are saved from his wrath. When we believe that Jesus is real, God is, and that he died to cover our sin. I believe that Jesus is real and that covered my sins. I still sin, but I know that you don't get into heaven only by doing the right thing all the time. Jesus takes over me because he is the Lord. A lot of people don't follow Jesus, but I want to follow Jesus because I know he is real. I want to tell other people about Jesus so they can go to heaven. I keep it in my heart to tell everyone that Jesus died on the cross so that they can remember. My second favorite part of the Bible is when Jesus got born. It makes me happy. If I had been there, I would love to take care of Jesus, then give him back to Mary, and I would be blessed with joy. One day when I read the Bible, I found out that I was one of God's wonderful helpers, even though I was a sinner. I want to be with him, to keep talking to him, and to keep learning about Jesus. Because I follow Jesus, I want to be nice to others so that others will know that I... believe in God. Even if we have enemies, we should still be kind to our enemies and love them. Hopefully they will believe in the Lord and know the Lord so that they know God loves them and that he wants them to go to heaven. Thank you everyone for listening.
Isla, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. The most important question, have you personally trusted in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? As proud as I am as your Father, our Heavenly Father is delighted in hearing that response. Based on your testimony of faith in Jesus alone, I now baptize you, Isla Leona Muchmore, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness that we do not deserve. Lord, thank you for your love that you have shown to us. The plan of eternity to send your Son to take the penalty that we deserve. Lord, because of who you are, because of what you've done, we want to worship you, we want to follow you, we want others to know you, to know the hope that is found only in you. So Lord, as we sing these songs to you today, as we listen to your words, recorded centuries and centuries ago, and yet just as relevant, just as impactful, just as powerful for us to reflect on today, Lord, may we do so in response to knowing who you are. And if we're here in this room this morning and we don't really fully know you, we know about you, but we don't know you in an experiential way, Lord, continue to bring us to yourself on that journey. Continue to help us to understand what it means to trust you, to surrender to you, Jesus, as Lord, in every area of life, so that we may walk with you now, knowing that we will get to walk face to face with you one day in eternity. We commit the service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able as we sing?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. He called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I need a rescue, my sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled. Fear not, he is with us, so be not dismayed, for he is our God, our sustainer and strength. He'll be our defender, upheld by his merciful almighty hand. How firm our foundation, how sure our salvation, and we will not be shaken. Jesus, firm foundation. Is trusting, then Jesus says, Lord, will press on enduring the darkest of storms. And though even hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. He'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. How firm, how our salvation.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, Lord, that's what we ask you, is that you would show us who you are, you would open our eyes to understand your ways and your character. Lord, please teach us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Would you have a seat?
Well, good morning. As you have a seat, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we've begun this study into this wonderful book on God's wisdom giving to us, and we've subtitled all of these messages, Wisdom to Live By. Well, you've seen the cartoon where temptation is often portrayed as an angel sitting on one shoulder and a devil sitting on another shoulder and whispering into the ear of the person. There is the angel of God, the angel of wisdom, saying, think about the Lord. Think about your family. Think about the consequences. Think about delaying this urge for immediate gratification. Step back and wait. And then there is the devil on the other shoulder saying, come on, you know these desires you have. You deserve this. This is what you want. Here's your opportunity. All your desire for happiness is about to come true. So pounce. Well, here in this section, the remainder of Proverbs 1, Solomon is reaching out to his son or sons, and he's saying to them, hey, there's two angels, one on each one of your shoulders, an angel of wisdom and the angel of simpletons, mockers, and fools. So listen up, boys. But then he goes one step further. He then unpacks the consequences of listening to the angel of wisdom and also listening to the angel of fools, scorners, and simpletons. And that is something that we often don't have. What are the long-term consequences to the decisions that we make? And what is our foundation for the decisions that we make? So beginning in verse 8, I'm going to read this text to the end of the chapter and then come back. And I want to share with you four things. See, wisdom is crying out to us this morning, just like it was to this man and to his wife who were trying to raise up their children. And wisdom says, there's consequences. And I'm going to show you the consequences ahead of time. Beginning in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our house with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So if you've taken a program as you walked in, follow along with me these four takeaways. Because wisdom is crying out. And what does she say? She says, number one, there's consequences to the company that you keep. There are consequences to the company that you keep. And there's all kinds of company. We're about to read and to see that Solomon is talking about a gang, if you will, a bunch of thugs who are out there hiding in the bushes or ready to break into a home and to steal and to take that which is not theirs. But you and I know that there's all kinds of peer pressure. He's talking about peer pressure. Young people are so susceptible to peer pressure, but so are those who are more mature, who are older. There's peer pressure at work. There's peer pressure for the student, whether it's to be popular or whether it's to get good grades, and the temptation, whether it's to cheat or to do something, participate in something. There's peer pressure in the marketplace. There's peer pressure in politics. There's peer pressure on how to make more money, and maybe you just break a little bit of the rules. Why? Because everybody does it. Or you know somebody who says, hey, I know how you can get ahead. So as we see here, the Lord is saying, be careful. Be careful. As he speaks, notice, he says, if you listen to your mom and dad. And so we're sitting here, and some of us could be going, oh yeah, how I wish I did. But when we were that teenager sitting in that home, it was like when you heard your parents say, come on, I'm going to share with you this because I know how the world works. And you're saying inside your own heart, or maybe it was just me, you don't have a clue, man. You're such a, you don't know how this world works. Man, I know. I'm running the streets. I know what's going on. You're so old-fashioned. And they were right. There are some principles. There are some truths that need to embrace and understood by every generation. So my parents maybe didn't listen to the music that was contemporary and the coolest. Maybe didn't speak the language of my generation when I was growing up. Maybe didn't have the same interests and hobbies. But they had a wisdom. They had an instruction that simply came through experience. They know and knew how the world works, really works. And they try to teach their children how to be careful. And that's all Solomon and his wife are doing. He's saying, son, don't forsake your dad's instruction and your mother's teaching. He says, you want success? Notice what he says here. He describes a graceful garland on the head. We might not understand it, but it's a victor's wreath on the head, a pendant, a gold medal, like you'd get at the Olympics, around your neck. He says, you want success? You want honor? Then listen. They're saying, as your parents, do you think we don't want you to have respect and honor in the world? Do you think we don't want you to be successful and to do well in life? Of course we do. So please listen to us. So that's one of the companies we can keep. Those who are saying, I'd like to instruct and teach you. And here, as we may be beyond the teen years, as I look around, there are a few of us beyond the teen years. There are others who would want to teach and instruct us to give us understanding. And God would say, please listen up. So he says, my son, if sinners entice you in verse 10, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason like Sheol. He's saying that's a pit where the dead would be taken that didn't have a family, Sheol. And no regard for human life or for the possessions of others. But there is something about come with us. Come with us. Be a part of the group. Be a part of the gang. This is cool. This is good. Look, we'll all put our loot together. We're all doing. We'll stand for each other. God says, be careful. Notice verse 15. Do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. Don't take one step. You know, I'm reminded in Psalm 1, powerful psalm. It says, be careful who you walk with. It says, be careful who then you stand with. It says, be careful then who you sit with. Because there's a progression there. And Solomon is writing to his son. He says, who you begin to walk with, be careful. And then you stand and you begin to think and you reason. Because what? The argument sounds good, right? What are these guys saying? Solomon's saying, they're saying, hey, all the cash you want. No one will ever find out. We'll get rid of those who we're stealing from. So there's no witnesses. Nothing's going to happen except you're going to be rich. And then once we sit, we're in. It's so hard to break away. Because it seems so enticing and so attractive. What is he describing here? A get-rich-quick scheme. There's something in every one of us when it's portrayed in a way that says, oh, wow, that sounds good. Well, of course they're going to present it that way. And yet the Lord says, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true, especially when it comes to money. God says, it's just a fact. There's a principle that I've laid out in regards to hard work. Wise investment. And he goes, get rich quick. That's not it. That doesn't bless anyone. We see in verse 16 and 17, he talks about even a bird, when they see somebody laying out a net, they're like, what, do you think I'm a fool? I'm not going down there to grab that, you know, little mouse or that little worm. I see what you're doing. I've seen that happen. My buddy, my cousin, man, they were snatched by that net. I'm not going anywhere near it. See, even a bird is wise enough. And he's saying, son, are you not wise enough? You're allowing your desires, your cravings, your inner lust to rule you instead of wisdom. Instead of wisdom. And so, wisdom would say, be careful. Think of the consequence of who you're running with. Think of the impact, not only on your own life, but the life of those who love you, whom you love, not to mention the innocent. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about people who said they were believers, Christians. Do you know there's folks in the church who say, come with us. And they're plotting things. That would never sound like it was evil, like it was coming from the devil. But right here in this church, in Corinth, Paul is saying, there's some who've made their way. And they're influencers. And they're leaders, and they come off as teachers. And they're speaking wrong about the resurrection. They're speaking wrong about the second coming of Christ. And that's a foundational doctrine. You need to get that right. And then he would say, because they'll say, hey, it doesn't matter how you live now. They say, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. They say there is no resurrection of the just. And Paul would say, do not be deceived. He says, stop tricking yourself. Stop lying to yourself, Christian. Bad company ruins good character. Wake up from your drunken stupor. He's saying you're acting as if you're drunk. You can't think straight. And do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. So number one, wisdom cries out, and it says, be careful. There's consequences to the company that you keep. Secondly, wisdom says, listen up. There are consequences to responding to wisdom or not responding to wisdom. You know, knowledge is gained horizontally. I mean, you can read book after book after book. You can Google subject after subject after subject that's available. And you can grow in knowledge. But wisdom, that's vertical. That doesn't come. Oh, man has his wisdom. James 3, 14, 15, and 16 tells us about man's wisdom. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. Its root is actually demonic. But the wisdom from heaven is quite different. So the wisdom Solomon is talking about, the wisdom that we'll be studying here these number of weeks and months, is the vertical wisdom. It only comes from God and from his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And notice now in verse 20, wisdom cries out. That word wisdom, that vertical ability, is having discernment to apply God's word, to apply God's truth, to look into see what he says, and to make choices, moral and ethical choices, that please God in everyday activity. So the things that from the moment we rise up to the next things we do and how we govern our day, God says, I offer you wisdom that you can make right, ethical, and moral choices as you go that please me and that will have powerful consequences, true successful consequences, like you'd be walking around with a victor's wreath and a gold medal around your neck. That's what wisdom is, the discernment ability to apply God's moral and ethical principles in everyday life. It cries out in the streets. Notice, in the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. See, God's wisdom is not hidden. Notice what Solomon's saying. He's saying it's available to you. God's wisdom is available to you and me. We know that. And every device that you have, whether it's your radio, it's your television, your podcast, or your Bible studies, we have God's wisdom available to us. It screams out. Why does it need to scream in the noisy marketplace? You know why, and I know why. Because unfortunately, we've programmed our ears, our eyes, and our heart to be taking in so many other things that are the opposite of wisdom from God. And as they enter in to our ears, as our eyes take in, it goes into our heart and it pushes out, or it quiets and diminishes God's wisdom, how to handle all the other voices and all the other noises. He's saying, it's here. It's crying out. What are you doing? So what keeps one from hearing? Is it intelligence? No. Is it opportunity? No. Notice the three characters that wisdom describes. Now here, this is Lady Wisdom. So Solomon is, and for his sons, he's describing the attractiveness of wisdom. Calls it a her. So listen to her. Fellas, listen to what she says. Follow her. Let her speak into your heart. But notice what she says in verse 11. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? That word is describing someone who's inexperienced, gullible, naive. They'll believe anything. And they're easily led astray. And then they're bewildered when things aren't working out. So wisdom describes the simple one. But then notice the next one. How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing? The scoffer is one who's full of arrogance. They're full of self-importance. They're mockers. They scorn God. They mock his ways. Make fun of those who make decisions for righteousness and to live holy lives. That's a scoffer. And then fools, how long will you hate knowledge? This is the dull, the stubborn, the self-reliant. They're not even willing to look into the spiritual or the eternal. It's foolish, they say. It's superstitious because God doesn't exist. It's what we have today. Every one of us in this room was one of those at one point. You were the simpleton. I was the simpleton. You were the mocker, the scoffer. I was the mocker or the scoffer. Or we were just the fool. But then notice verse 23. This happened. Truth. Wisdom from God. Help. Relief. Forgiveness, pardon, a restart occurred. We heard it somewhere from someone, and it came out of the Word of God. For notice what she says, if you turn at my reproof, that word means repent. If you have a change of heart, a change of mind, and you consider what you're hearing and begin to turn, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. See, there are moments in our life where the invitation is extended, where it's not too late, where we can respond to wisdom. You know what wisdom does? It says, now let me introduce you to my authority, to my creator, to the one who is the master of all wisdom. And he will lead you, and he will rescue you, and he will save you. And she will introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 25 and verse 30 says this, but to those whom God has called, to those whom God has invited, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God, as if God had any weakness, is stronger than human strength. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. All of us need that start When we hear of the gospel, when we hear of the person of Christ and his work on that cross, that's God offering to us his perspective. Here's the truth. Here's how life starts afresh and anew for you. It's not being as religious as you can. It's not embracing and pursuing any spiritual path that is afforded to you. It starts with Jesus Christ the Lord, God himself, who's come in the flesh, who is the consummation of all wisdom and has come to this earth, the Word become flesh. And what he says and how he says it. He doesn't give you laws and legalities. He teaches us the very heart of God behind every commandment. He says, here's the blessing of God for your life. Here's the protection of God for your life. This is why these instructions are here, to bless you, to protect you, to guide you well in the midst of a dark, crooked, and perverse generation. And it starts with Jesus. And once we respond to that gospel message, all of a sudden, the light, if you will, comes on. And as we read God's word, which contains his wisdom, we begin to see and understand and grasp things. And we say, how did this happen? I'm not more intelligent today than I was yesterday. You took the opportunity to hear the rebuke that you are a sinner and have offended God and have rebelled against him. But then here is one who pardons. Here is one who went to the cross for you in your stead. And when you trusted in him, he became wisdom. His spirit, as wisdom is saying, I will pour out my spirit. Jesus said the same thing. I will pour out my spirit. He will seal you. He will mark you. He will teach you all the things that I've said and done. But until that spirit comes, my spirit, the spirit of wisdom, you'll continue to wallow. You'll continue to say, oh, this path must be right. And it will lead to a dead end. Thirdly, wisdom says, listen up. And this is heavy, my friends. There are consequences to ignoring her counsel. Because there is a time where it can be too late to receive wisdom's counsel. You see, this is wisdom speaking. It's not Jesus Christ speaking. It's never too late to be pardoned, to be born anew, to be rescued, to be saved. The criminal on a cross, when he recognized the one who was being crucified next to him and acknowledged and repented, and he said to his friend, do you not know who this is? And who we are? And he asked Jesus, would you remember me? And Jesus said, I'll do better than that. Today you will be with me. So there's always that opportunity. But guess what? You never know if that opportunity is going to come. Because nobody can be born of God and become a child of God by the will of man. There's nothing that's grieved my heart more when I've sat with someone and we've unpacked the gospel, I say, thank you, John. I understand. I'll make that decision one day, but right now, I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live. And I'll warn them before you go, I say, I get what you're saying, but that choice is not yours. God is the one who calls. Jesus calls. It's not your decision. You're born of God. You're not born of man. But wisdom says it can be too late. Notice in verse 24. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, notice what wisdom will do. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Wisdom doesn't hate us. Wisdom doesn't reject us. It's the exact opposite. Wisdom continues to offer herself to us. She'll speak in a soft whisper of counsel. At times she'll scream with alarm. But notice, the simple one, the scoffer, and the fool will ignore, will reject, will turn away. And the consequence will come. When we operate in our own wisdom and in our own skill, the consequences are not good. And wisdom says, there comes a point where it's too late. Then you will call upon me, I won't answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. That could be in a season in your life, in my life. And folks that we know, they have just made their decisions, they have gone their way, and all of a sudden, when the weight of the consequence, the terror, the whirlwind, the chaos and crisis comes as a result, they're crying out to the godly. They're crying out to their believing friends, to their pastors or other counselors. And here's what they hear. I'm so sorry, but it's too late. I know you're asking, what should you do? You should have asked that yesterday. Or you should have responded to the counsel you heard yesterday. The consequences have occurred, and they will occur, because God says there is a natural law that I've laid out into all of the land and for every generation. A man and a woman reaps what they sow. Galatians 6, 7 tells us that. Again, do not be deceived. See, that's the thing with the simple one, the scoffer and the fool. They've convinced themselves of a lie. Self-deception. I've convinced myself that I'm right. My perspective is good and well and right. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, in other words, what I want, my desires, not God's desires, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, that same Spirit that wisdom pours out on us, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not grow weary of doing good. So in other words, let's continue to endure in God's wisdom. Even though all around us we hear these other voices, well, that's not appealing. That's not how you're going to get ahead. There's no fun in that. Oh, come on. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. That's just that natural law. And it comes with wisdom as well. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, because they would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. And then finally, wisdom says, listen up. There is a consequence to listening to me. There is a consequence to responding to the wisdom that God offers through His Spirit and through His Word. Notice verse 33. But whoever, that's every one of us in this room, everyone who would be listening, whoever listens to me, and that word doesn't mean just hearing the words, But the one who responds, right? I've told you before, we live in a raised ranch, and we'd be upstairs, Danielle and I, we call our girls when they were younger. Victoria, Alexandra, come on upstairs. We'd know our voices were loud enough. Did you hear me? Yes, Dad. But no movement. So that's, they're listening. And actually, they would never say, yes, Dad. It would say, yes, Mom. Because if Dad ever called them, they always would come, because I think the consequence is a little heavier from Dad. But finally, we'd have to raise our voice. Then they would come. This is saying those who hear, who take God's principle, his ethical, moral truth, who are digesting every day. And this is something we do ahead of time. Remember, it says it's too late on the day of calamity to cry out for wisdom. It's too late. That's why you and I have the opportunity today to feast on God's truth, and the Spirit who gave it to us is of God, to apply and make those small choices every day, so that when that time comes, notice, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is a personal promise from God. When life's disasters come upon you and me, as they come upon everybody, and they will, a Christian is not spared life's calamities and life's disasters. But what this says is when they come, we will dwell with security. And there will be an ease. As we have been living out the truths that we've been growing together and studying and conversing with one another and living and following the counsel of God, his wisdom from his word, when the difficulty comes from within, there will be a peace. There will be a security, as if we are being held by the divine in the midst of the disaster. There will be an ease. It will be supernatural. We'll be overcome with joy and gratefulness. Because though we may lose everything, he has us. And as we exhale, we say, that's good enough. I'm so thankful he's with me. Wisdom. Security. Peace. Not of this world, but the peace that Jesus gives in the day of trouble. Upholds me, ties me, secures me. My friends, Open Arms Church family, choose wisdom while she's available. She's all around. She cries out. And in order for us to listen to her, we must quiet other noises, other voices that we're allowing into our life. And let God's voice rise up. And you and I need to be willing to say, yes, I'll respond, ever before we even know what comes out of his mouth. Are you willing, every time you sit to hear God's word, open up God's word, to read and grow and understand, to sit with friends, to converse with God's word? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? The God of wisdom, the God of redemption, the God who loves me, the God who will always tell me the truth through soft counsel or rebuke, I say yes. So help me to obey God. Give me friends who are obeying you. Let me see them. Let me see the fruit of their life. And let me flee the ones who will say, come over here, come over here. As I look at the fruit of their life and I see the chaos, I see the destruction, and they're melting, I will say no. But the ones who are left standing in the midst of the river rising and beating, I want to walk with them. Because they've obviously been following your word and the wisdom from your word. I can see it if they're left standing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in such a day as this, we need and acknowledge that vertical wisdom from heaven. All around us, we see the wisdom of man being played out. And it's just like what your word says. There's selfish ambition related to it. There's chaos related to it. It makes no sense to the spiritual-minded person. And yet to them, it's the greatest and the most intelligent, the right and the best. So Lord, we humbly ask that you would take your word, your truths, and continue while we have breath to obey you, to listen to you, to respond to you. Thank you, wisdom, that you extend your hand to lead us. You stretch out your arm to lead us. Jesus, that is you, the good shepherd, the wise shepherd, that we would take that hand and be led by you. That's our heart cry here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with us again as we sing?
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. I am at my side. I'm above my life. I will trust in you, Lord. When you go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. You love, I love. And you serve, I serve. With this life, I live. I will follow you, yeah. I will follow you, yeah. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find. I'll follow you, yeah. I'll follow you, yeah. I'll follow you.
thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you. Stay warm. Have a great Sunday.